الحمد لله الذي جعل ذكره طمأنينة للقلوب وجلاء لها نارين الذنوب ومطرارة لوسواس الخناس المكذوب. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر مطلوب، وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب. أما بعد، فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and they were not commanded except to worship Allah, being sincere to Him in religion, inclining to the truth, and to establish prayer, and to give zakat. And that is the correct faith, that is the correct religion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, welcome to our seventh session on lessons from Imam Ghazali's Ihya. In our last session, we discussed the fitna of celebrity mania and the way it often alters our perception of good and bad in mundane aspects of our lives. We pondered the example of perception of clothing and emphasized the point that we should not consider ourselves immune from cultural influences by which we are surrounded. And in this vein, we reflected on the verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Anfal, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً, that fear the fitna, fear the corruption that will not affect only those who have done the wrong among you. And we looked at the fact that celebrity mania can even affect our perception of what is desirable in faith, what is desirable in Islam, the pursuit of dini knowledge, of religious knowledge. And we may even end up favoring connections with celebrity branded Islam over and above considerations for the quality of content, and that seeking celebrity through deen, through our religion, seeking the celebrity through our faith, and through the display of a knowledge of Islam, is one of the most destructive paths that one can choose in life. For we were warned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about it in these words. He said, مَا دِئْبَانِ جَاعِيَانِ أُرْسِلَ فِي غَنَمٍ بِأَفْسَدَ لَهَا مِنْ حِرْسِ الْمَرْءِ عَلَى الْمَالِ وَالشَّرْفِ لِدِينِهِ, that two hungry wolves sent in the midst of a flock of sheep are no more destructive to them than a man who seeks wealth and fame to his deen. The destruction will be more. We also touched on the concept of flow as a counter-narrative to the celebrity mania, in that the pursuit of fame and the endless growth of wealth narrative is a counter-narrative to this. The pursuit of fame, the flow as a counter-narrative to this, the endless growth of a pursuit of wealth narrative, the ability in flow to disengage from these never-ending rat races and to focus on more meaningful, smaller goals in one's life on a moment-by-moment basis is far more rewarding and fortifying for one's self-worth and well-being. We also reflected on the fact that most aspects of what is described as flow are not alien or new to Muslims. In fact, there are aspects of it that are intrinsic to the practice of our faith. There are essential components in our daily prayers, in our daily dhikr, as in khushu' and khudu'. And of course, we believe that it is for these purposes primarily, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these capacities in the human being in the first place. And here we must recognize also that worldly benefits discovered by researchers like Csikszentmihalyi are nothing compared to the spiritual benefits, the benefits in Akhirah that are available to us through the practice of khushu', which is the capacity to focus our attention solely on the divine, solely seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has benefits and rewards beyond anything anyone with a clipboard can ever discover. But the sad truth is that we have become so affected and, should I say, enamored by the phenomena of expert scientific knowledge for everything, that I find myself speaking about khushu' and referencing the works of Csikszentmihalyi, which is a testimony, of course, to the extent to which our modern minds are influenced by the environment in which we exist. So this is a testimony to our environment, where we exist in this environment and we're influenced by it. For if I should just list the components of khushu' and say, oh, the khushu' is X, Y, and or A, B, C, D, then it tends to get lost in the memory, like many of the khutbas on khushu' we might have heard many times before. But if I preface what I say with something like, something similar was found in a scientific study and X, Y, and Z, then it has more traction and lasts longer in the memory. This is, of course, not a rebuke or a reprimand directed at anyone. I'm simply stating a fact of modern life. This is what we have become, sadly, as a result of living in the modern world. We are all influenced in ways we seldom recognize, and as I said, in a process akin to osmosis. Now, the story of flow in psychology is that Csikszentmihalyi, realized that he interviewed thousands and thousands of people all around the world, and he realized that from the answers he was getting from people asking them about their quality of life and their enjoyment in life, is that happiness in life is not in having enormous amounts of wealth. Because the more you have, and this is what he found by speaking to thousands and thousands of people, and these are his words, he said that if you speak to thousands and thousands of people and ask them about what is the quality of their life and about enjoyment in the life, you find that they say that, look, it's not about having an enormous amount of wealth, because you always want more. The more you get is the more you want, which is exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us 1400 years ago. He said, لَوْ كَانَ لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادٍ مِّن ذَهَبٍ, that if the child of Adam, a human being, were to have an entire valley of gold, أَحَبَّ أَنَّ لَهُ وَادِيًا آخَرٍ, he would want to have another valley of gold. وَلَنْ يَمْلَأْ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابٍ, and eventually his mouth will not be filled. In other words, his desire, his yearning, his craving for more and more and more will not be filled, will not be satisfied, satiated, unless the dirt enters his mouth. In other words, death. وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ يَتُوبُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابَ, and Allah forgives those who seek repentance. So the point here is that, yes, wealth is not the true measure. And Csikszentmihalyi himself said what he found was that once people reach a certain limit of wealth that covers the basic needs, which was around, I think, $16,000 to $20,000, this was a few years ago, but it's relative, that between $16,000 and $20,000 a year, once people reach that level, then the difference in general happiness in life between those who have millions and millions and those who have the basic needs are negligible. And with the graph, you see it flattening, it's bleeding out. They converge. There's not much difference in the enjoyment of life, because the people who have loads of money are also worried, that the worry of losing it and of getting more and other reasons affect their ability to enjoy life. Now, the psychological benefits from khushu' are insignificant when compared to the spiritual benefits. both in this world and the next. The difference is akin to the physical benefits from exercise of movement in prayer. You move, moving the body. When you move the body in prayer, there is a degree of exercise in prayer. But the enormous spiritual benefit of fulfilling the command of Allah renders that physical benefit is trivial. But for those who have no access to rewards in the unseen, the physical benefits are enormous in their eyes. And so the psychological benefits of khushu, which are amplified in the eyes of those who have no conception of worship, of worshipping a creator alone, as if you see him, and entering into that into divine love and guidance and compassion, they have no access to that. Now, over 1,000 years before Sheikh Said Mihai discovered the notion of losing oneself and losing sense of yourself and your surroundings in concentration in this flow, our scholars were writing about this sort of thing, about ghaibat al-qalb, for over 1,000 years ago. I'm going to read you a text. This is a 1,000-year-old text from the 11th century. I'm going to read you what he says. He says, "Al-ghaibatu hiya ghaibatu al-qalb an ilmi ma yajri min ahwal al-khalq." It is an absence that begins in the heart, that it is a knowledge of what happened. It's absence of knowledge, absence of knowing what is happening in ahwal al-khalq, whatever happens around you. لاشتغال الحس بما ورد عليه, with the occupation, the senses become occupied with what is flowing on into the person, into the heart. ثم يغيب إحساسه بنفسه وبغيره بوارد, and then his sense of himself and sense of his surroundings vanish. بغيره بوارد من تذكر ثواب أو تفكر عقاب. That the person then thinks about the achievement of a reward in the unseen, or thinking about avoiding a punishment in the unseen, and that causes the person to lose consciousness, to not worry about himself and those that surround him, who is saying what, and to defending the ego and all of that. And he gives an example. He says, "Ru'a an Ali ibn al-Husayn." This is the son of Hussein radiallahu anhu, Ali. His name was also Ali. Ali ibn al-Husayn, annahu kana fi sujudi, that he was in sajda. فَوَقَعَ حَرِيقٌ فِي دَارِهِ فَلَمْ يَنْصَرِفْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِ, that a fire engulfed the house in which he was, and he did not move, he did not come out of his salah, of his prayer while he was praying. فَسُئِلَ عَنْ حَالِهِ, people questioned him afterwards, there was this big fire in your house, and why did you not move? He said, "Alhatni nar al-kubra an hadhihi an-nar." He said, "The bigger fire distracted me from this fire." So their sense of the akhirah and their sense of thinking led them to this sort of realization, these sorts of experiences. So these are all states of khushu. Anyway, I've given you a short course of 40 lectures on improving khushu in salah, and I hope you'll find the time to benefit from them or from those lectures, inshallah. Also, in the chapters of love of praise and dislike of criticism, we read Imam Ghazali's prescriptions for inoculating ourselves, in which the sentence I said should be written in gold. This sentence should be written in gold. بأن تعلم أن طلبك المنزلة في قلوب الناس وفرحك بها يسقط منزلتك عند الله. فكيف تفرح, that you're seeking a position in the hearts of people and enjoying it degrades your position in the eyes of Allah. So how can one be happy about that? بأن تعلم أن منزلتك أن طلبك من طلبك المنزلة في قلوب الناس وفرحك بها يسقط منزلتك عند الله فكيف تفرح به. So how would you, this is the sentence, this is the crux of the message. Now today we will study the meaning of another term, and this is a term that we have used interchangeably with Hubbul Jah throughout the classes so far, but it has a technical distinction from Hubbul Jah, which is more general, and the term is Ar-Riyah, which is often translated as ostentation and to show off, etc. But we will read now the technical definition, and we'll read from excerpts from the second part of the book. Right, so Haddurriya. Haddurriya huwa iradatul ibad bita'atillahi azza wa jal. Is using an act of worship with an intention, with motivation to effect, to impress the creation, impress people who are around you. فَالْمُرَائِ هُوَ الْعَابِدِ. So the one who is indulged in riya, he is the one who is al-murai, he's an abid, he's a worshipper, but he shows with it. So in using ibadah specifically, this is where riya comes in. This is the real meaning of riya. And he says, an i'lam anna riya haram, that it is classified as haram, and the evidence for this comes directly from the Quran. Wal murai indallahi manqutun, and the one who indulges in this is disliked. He's mamqutun ashad al ghadab, that Allah does dislikes him. وَقَدْ شَهِدَ لَكَتْ وَقَدْ شَهِدَتْ لِهَذِهِ الْآيَاتُ وَالْأَخْبَارُ وَالْآثَارُ. He says, and the Quranic verses for it, and he quotes, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. Directly from the Quran. Woe be to the worshippers, the people who are in prayer. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those people who are inattentive, their attention is otherwise focus, they are inattentive to their salah, and those who show, those who are doing it simply for show, their attention is on others, they're showing their salah. وَفِي قَوْلِهِ وَالَّذِينَ يَمْكُرُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ يَمْكُرُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَكْرُ أُولَئِكَ هُوَ يَبُورٌ. That those who conspire, those who conspire evil, those who indulge in scheming of evil, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ, for them is a grievous punishment, and their schemes will perish. And then there's the praise for the one who does the opposite, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. That we feed you for the sake of Allah, we do not want any thanks or any reward. And the verse in Surah Kahf, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. That whoever hopes in meeting his Lord, then he should act, he should do good, he should do good deeds, and do not include others with his Lord. And as for ahadith, we're going to choose a few. Okay, call. Man ra'a, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ra'a ra'a Allahu bihi, wa man sama'a sama'a Allahu bihi. But the one who is showing, then Allah will show him on the Day of Judgment. In other words, Allah will make your riya known, and likewise for speech. And he says that, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم استعيذوا بالله عز وجل من حب استعيذوا بالله عز وجل من جب الحزن من جب الحزن. قيل وما هو يا رسول الله. He said to seek refuge in Allah from جب الحزن. So they ask him, what is this جب الحزن? He said, واد في جهنم, that it is a valley in the hellfire. وعد للقراء المرائين, it is prepared for the reciters of the Quran who recite just to show people their expertise. And then, okay, so we have قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن المرائي ينادى يوم القيامة. That the one who indulges in riya, he will be called on the Day of Judgment. The angels will call, he will address him, they will say, يا فاجر, يا shameless liar, يا غادر, O traitor, Ya Murai, oh show off, dalla amaluka, all your actions have been wasted, wa habita ajruk, and your reward has now become futile. Idhab, go, fakhudh ajraka mimman kunta ta'mal lahu, go to those who for whom you used to do these actions. وقال شداد بن عوس شداد بن عوس رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يبكي. I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying. فقلت ما يبكيك يا رسول الله؟ What is it that makes you cry? فقال إني تخوفت على أمتي الشرك. That I fear shirk. I fear polytheism for my ummah. أما إنهم لا يعبدون صنما ولا شمسا ولا قمرا ولا حجرا. That oh, they will not worship an idol or the sun or the moon or a stone. ولكنهم يراؤون بأعمالهم. But they will show with their actions. They will show with their actions, and in that include others in ibadah, in acts of worship that are supposed to be for Allah alone. Okay. So والمرأي به كثير. And he said there are lots of ways in which people show ibadah. And وتجمعه خمسة أقسام. And then he places them into five categories through which we do this, through which we practice ria. وهي مجامع ما يتزين العبد به للناس. And this is and it encompasses all the things that broadly the things that people do with ria in it. Now this does not necessarily mean that every time you see someone doing these things it is ria, but these are the things in which ria seeps into. When you do them, you have to be careful. So he's saying that, and they are, so you do them through al-badan, the body, wal-zay, your appearance, wal-qawl, your speech, wal-amal, your actions, wal-atba' wal-ashya' al-kharija, with your following and things around you. وَكَذَلِكَ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا يُرَاؤُونَ بِهَذِهِ الْأَسْبَابِ الْخَمْسِ. And the people of dunya also do this with these five. So for the awwal, al-awwal, the first are, al-riyaa fi al-deen min jihati al-badan. That showing, having display, showing off righteousness from the body, and that can come from ذَلِكَ بِإِظْهَارِ النُّحُولِ وَالْإِصْفِرَارِ لِيُوهُمْ أَنَّ شِدَّةِ الْإِجْتِ. It carries his body in such a way that to give an impression that he is spending a lot of time in ibadah, so not taking care of himself. His body is leaning his head when he walks, talking as if he has no energy in himself, and the impression he wants to project is that I've been up so late in the night, I've been working so hard at tahajjud, and I've been doing X, Y, and Z, and this has made me so weak. So that is the first with the badan, with the body, and then the second with wasani ar-riya' bi-zay wal-hayya, with your apparel, your clothes, and also with your general disposition. So you'll have things like the clothes is left torn, and then he's saying, well, this is to show I have no connection with the world, or not taking care of himself, or ghalzu. Leaving the hair unkept, shaving the mustache, وإطراق الرأس, and hanging of the head, والهدوء في الحركة, and walking slowly, وإبقاء أثر السجود على الوجه. You know, when you do sajda, there's sometimes a mark appears, and I'm told that in some barber shops in some Arab countries, so people go and have their hair cut, and the barber will also put, if you want, a mark on your forehead. And the mark of sajda takes a cloth and rubs it until you can. So that will give the impression that this person is a pious person that does a lot of sujood. And these sorts of things. وَمِنْهُ لُبْزٌ مُرَقَّعٌ. Wearing clothes that show that you're pious. The clothes that the Sufi wear, clothes that the pious people wear. And وَمِنْهُ and also وَمِنْهُ الدُّرَّاعَةُ وَالطَّيْلَسَانِ. And the durra'a is the open coat that the ulama wear, the clothes of ulama. So that open coat that the ulama wear, something similar to this. And وَالطَّيْلَسَانِ. طَيْلَسَانِ is that غُطْرَة, the shawl over the head. This used to be the sign, the clothes through which the ulama are recognized. So he's saying that you wear durra'atu, which is the jubba al-mushaqqa al-amam bil-muqaddam wal-taylasan, the al-ghutra, yalbisuhu man huwa khalin anil-ilm. People who have very little knowledge. لِيُوهَمْ أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ, to show that this person now is a person of ilm. So from clothes and appearances, you people, that happens. Okay. And then riya min al-qawl, riya through speech, riya ahli al-deen, and this is, of course, the people of deen, ulama and scholars, this are also susceptible to this disease. So you would have wa'az, preaching. And in the olden days, ulama would ask a question and they will say, I don't know. Nowadays, even if you don't know, people are answering questions. Here he says, riya al-wa'az, bil wa'z, bil preaching and tazkir, reminders, and nutq bil hikam, speaking. We use a lot of referencing to wise words and interesting points. وحفظ أخبار أخبار والآثار لأجل استعمال في المحاربة. We memorize lots of interesting stories so that we can use them in when we speak to people. وإظهار الغزارة العلم, and to show abundance of knowledge. ودلالة على شدة العناية بأحوال السلف, showing that look, I have all this extensive knowledge and I know about all the piety and the biographies of the early scholars. وتحريك الشفتين بالذكر في محضر الناس, when sitting among people you find lips starting to move with dhikr, overtly showing that you're doing dhikr. And the reason this happens is that the nafs inside is saying, oh, show these people how pious you are. Well, amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar, and then calling people to doing good and forbidding them from doing wrong. Ala mashhad al khalq, bi mashhad al khalq, doing it openly in front of everyone. Wa idhar al ghadab wal lil munkarat, and expression of anger about evil. Wa idhar al asaf ala مقارفة الناس للمعاصي والبدعة, you speaking about people doing bid'ah and making a big hoo-ha over what sort of bid'ah is going on. وتضعيف الصوت في الكلام, and then lowering the voice in order to increase the impression. وترقيق الصوت بقراءة القرآن, and then reading the Quran in very high pitch in order to reading Quran بالقراءة in high pitch, to give the impression of expertise. لِيَدُلَّ بِذَلِكَ عَلَى الْحُزْنِ, and also to give the impression of sadness and fear. وَإِدْعَاءُ حِفْظِ الْحَدِيثِ, and then claim to know, to be a memorizer of hadith. وَلِقَاءُ الشُّيُوخِ, and having lots of, and having met lots of shuyukh, that's something. وَالرَّدْ عَلَى مَنْ يَرْوِيَ الْحَدِيثِ, and to criticize those who are reporting hadith. When people mention hadith, وَبَيَانُ الْخَلَلِ فِي, and speaking about the problems in the hadith. لِيُعْرَفْ أَنَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِالْحَدِيثِ, so that it's known, so that people then get the impression that this person is an expert in hadith. وَالْمُبَادَرَةُ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الْحَدِيثِ صَحِيحٌ أَوْ غَيْرُ صَحِيحٌ, and then to initiate without anyone asking them to come and say, oh, a hadith is صحيح and غير صحيح, لإظهار الفضل فيه, and to show their virtue, their status in it, in the science of hadith. This hadith is because they heard it from someone. والمجادلة على قصد إفهام, to put people down or to express their status in knowledge. Now, in relation to this in particular, I want to say something about it, and consider this your bite-sized itminan for today, because it's regarding hadith. Because if you remember at the beginning of the course, I mentioned the fact that some people have difficulty with this book because there are some weak hadith in it, weak reporting. And the problem, however, is much broader than this book. It has become a touchstone issue for the validity of knowledge and scholarship. Where quoting a weak hadith is seen as a grave crime and completely unacceptable, even enough to dismiss a person's entire deen. And so I want you to structure your thinking about this particular issue on the basis of 4 points. You think about 4 points when you are faced with this problem. This has become a problem. The first thing is to think about what does it really mean when someone says, brother or sister, this is a weak hadith, so have nothing to do with it? Does it mean that this hadith can never be quoted? When someone says that this is a weak hadith, it means that this hadith has a technical illa, an insufficiency that does not meet the criteria of a particular scholar or scholars. That's what it means in technical terms. An example of this is that Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, he adopted a very high and stringent set of criteria for his book, Sahih al-Bukhari. And you will find some hadiths that are in his book that are not in Sahih Muslim. And the reason for this is that Imam Bukhari's criteria is more stringent and strict. He requires not only for people to be contemporaries, but there to be evidence that these people met. Whereas Imam Muslim is of the opinion that as long as there is evidence of their being contemporaries living at the same time, then that was sufficient for him. Now, if a hadith happens to have to be quoted in Muslim and it's not in Bukhari, then it is, according to the criteria of Imam Bukhari, weak. And so it is according to the criteria set by individuals, including the evidence of meeting this. So so when someone says that it is a weak hadith, you have to know ala sharti man, on whose criteria. Because a hadith can be weak according to the criteria of one scholar and not weak according to the criteria of another scholar. So that's the first thing you need to bear in mind. The second point is that the scholars over the ages are in agreement. There's a consensus, general consensus, that for the subject of tarbiyah, the subject that we're studying, this subject of tarbiyah, tazkiyah, whatever you want to call it, the criteria is not as stringent as required for subjects like usul fiqh and fiqh, where those legal matters are being considered. And Imam Bukhari himself demonstrates this by including hadiths that are weak in his book. He has another book called Adab al-Mufrad, in which he deals with etiquettes of the individual. And there are several hadiths in that book that some scholars have put in the category of weak. There are hadiths in that book that does not reach his criteria for his sahih, his main book. But he has used it in this. And because there is this category, there is this general agreement. And it has no bearing whatsoever over the fact that a hadith scholar of the highest caliber is using when people classify some of the hadith in his book Adab al-Mufrad, that has no bearing on the fact that he has used it. He himself is using it. He's a hadith scholar of the greatest caliber, and he himself. And the reason for this is this consensus that in matters of halal and haram, then the bar is set very high, but for other subjects like virtues of actions, and then the bar is then set low. And there are many quotes I can give you, but I'm going to give you just two here. The first is Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He says, إِذَا رَوَيْنَا عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ شَدَّدْنَا فِي الْأَسَانِيدِ. That when it comes to halal and haram, in other words, matters of legal scrutiny, then we are stringent about the chains of narrations. وَإِذَا رَوَيْنَا عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي فَضَائِلِ الْأَعْمَالِ. But if we report on from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم about the virtues of actions, then وَمَا لَا يَضَعُ حُكْمًا وَلَا يَرْفَعُ, which is not pertaining to rulings, of legal rulings, تَسَاهَلْنَا فِي الْأَسَانِيدِ, that we then set the bar very low. We reduce the stringent, that stringent approach that we have. That's the first quote. The second quote is from Imam al-Nawawi, rahmatullah alayhi, fi sharh al-Muslim. He says, إِنَّهُمْ قَدْ يَرْوُونَ عَنْهُمْ أَحَادِيثِ التَّرْغِيبِ وَالتَّرْهِيبِ وَفَضَائِلِ الْأَعْمَالِ وَالْقِصَصِ وَأَحَادِيثِ الزُّهُدِ وَمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَنَحْوُ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا لَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ وَسَائِرِ الْأَحْكَامِ. He said the scholars may quote hadith from Targhib and Tarhib, which is a book that has lots of hadith that have been classed as weak, and Fadail al-Amal, virtues of actions and stories, and Zuhud and Makarim al-Akhlaq, hadith that talks about general conduct, good conduct. He said, which are not connected. These are not hadith about halal and haram and rulings of right of halal and haram. وهذا الضرب من الحديث يجوز عند أهل الحديث وغيرهم التساهل. التساهل. He said that it is allowed, and he's making this judgment very clearly that it is complete. It is absolutely allowed to use this hadith. There is تساهل in it, that you have the option of using these hadith for these subjects. So that's the second point. The third point I want you to bear in mind, that to progress in deen, we need to avoid this popular obsession with weakness in hadith and replace it with an attention to the weakness in ourselves. Weakness in our iman, weakness in our yaqeen, weakness in our ibadah, weakness in our punctuality, etc., which are far more beneficial obsessions to have than this pretentious attitude of being a muhaddith that routinely, we routinely indulge in this category error of applying a stringent criteria to something that is not necessary. In the eyes of the there's a unanimous consensus on this. Now, as long as the hadith is not unanimously confirmed as fabricated and it is helping you to get rid of a weakness, then in reality that hadith is a source of strength. If one scholar fails to find the hadith and rule that it, and this is how they usually rule when they say lam aqif alayha, I did not find this hadith. This is how they rule. A pertinent example is this book itself. This book is in Ihya Ulum al-Din, the scholar who is generally known to be the one who went through all the hadiths and classified them and decided which hadith was strong and what and did a thorough study of it, the definitive study on it, is Imam al-Iraqi. But yet, when you look at Imam Zubaydi's commentary on this book, there are various places where he says that Imam al-Iraqi could not find this hadith, but I have found it. لَمْ يَقِفْ عَلَيْهَا الْإِمَامِ الْإِرَاقِ وَلَكِنِّي وَجَدْتُهُ هُنَا 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 هُنَا, that I found it here and here and here. So the point is that we cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. We should not allow ourselves to be bamboozled by people who are misapplying the criteria for the category of ruling and prohibitions by applying it to virtues and exhortations. The bar is set at two different levels for these two categories. Now, the fourth point to bear in mind, the fourth point is that hadith tend to have multiple chains of narrations. And when a scholar says that a hadith is weak, he can sometimes be speaking about one particular chain of that narration. So to hear the end bit, the hadith is comprised of two parts, the chain of narration and the actual text. For example, if there are four links in the chain and at link number three, a reporter is found to have a insufficiency, such as fading memory or lack of precision, etc., then that hadith connected to that chain is classified as having a weakness. But the same hadith might have another chain with all of its links, all the links, all four links sound, and therefore not weak but sound. So that's one part of it. The second thing to remember is that you might find a situation where a hadith may have multiple chains. Let's suppose a hadith has two chains. It has two chains and both are weak, but the weakness that they find is slight weakness in link number three in the first chain and the slight weakness of link number four in the second chain. When they put together, they cancel each other out, so then they become they cancel it, so it becomes a strong hadith, it becomes an acceptable hadith, which is known as sahih li ghayrihi or hasan li ghayrihi. And there are examples of this, the hadith about طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم, that seeking of knowledge is compulsory, it's wajib, it's compulsory on every Muslim. That hadith comes from multiple chains and they all have some slight insufficiency in some of the links, but when you put them together they cancel each other out, because it's inconceivable that people living in different era, different times, who do not meet each other can conspire to fabricate something identical. That's how they cancel each other out. The other hadith was lauda an ashuq ala ummati la amartuhum bis-siwak inda kulli salatin. This hadith has, this is too much detail, but the point that you have to remember is that this is a complex science, and a simplified approach to it will not help. So if someone says to you that a certain scholar, for example, Sheikh Albani, has rendered a particular hadith as weak, then you should know that Sheikh Albani has also classified as weak hadith of Imam Bukhari, considered to be strong. There's hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari that Imam al-Bani says that, Sheikh al-Bani said that it's weak. Now, this is not a criticism, it's a statement of fact. Yes, Sheikh al-Bani has classified hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari as weak, some of it. Now, the point is that scholars differ in their classification of hadith, and the crucial question is for you to ask which scholar do you follow? If Sheikh al-Bani's opinion is more appealing to you, then by all means, follow him. But you do not have the right to present his opinion about a given hadith as the final word on the matter. Because if you go around doing this, you might end up committing this category error through and deprive people of the help they need with their deen, which is against the consensus and which may endanger your own akhirah. So we have to be careful about how we go about dealing with this and accept that, yes, look more at where this is coming from. Why do I feel this need to go and start pointing fingers about hadith and books and scholars of things about something that is an agreed consensus for hundreds of years? Scholars have agreed upon this, that in this subject, it is allowed. Okay, now to come back to the fourth area where people practice riya is al-amalu, al-amal. كالمرائي المصلي بطول القيام ومد الظهر زائدة عن العادة. You know, that person stands in prayer and he's in the mosque and people are watching him, so he prays very long, he lengthens his prayer and he stretches his back. وطويل السجود, saying long in sujood, long in ruku, وإطراق الرأس, and hanging of the head, وترك الالتفات, and you know, keeping his head without turning, وإظهار الهدوء والسكون, ensuring composure and calmness, وتسوية القدمين واليدين, fixing his foot, his feet and his hands, وكذلك الصوم والغزو والحج, and these are all acts of worship through which people practice riya. وبإطعام الطعام, and feeding food, والإخبات في مشي عند اللقاء, and humility when meeting people, كإرخاء الجفون, like hanging of the eyelids, وتنكيس الرأس, hanging of the head, والوقار في الكلام, and speaking with dignity, in a dignified manner. حتى إن المرائي قد يسرع في المشي, but a person who is showing off might, a person will generally be, he's a murai, is one who likes to show off, but in his solitude, when he's alone, he will walk, he's going to get to buy something, and he's rushing and like normal people. فإذا طلع عليه واحد من أهل الدين, but if another scholar sees him, رجع إلى الوقار, he immediately becomes dignified and walking slowly, calmly. وإطراق الرأس, and hanging of the head, خوفا من أن ينسب إليه العجلة والقلة الوقار. So fearing that somebody may ascribe to him the hastiness and lack of gravitas, you know, وقار. فإن غاب الرجل, and then when, as soon as people leave, then عاد إلى عجلة, then he starts to rush again. فإذا رآه عاد إلى خشوعه. When they see him, then he comes back to خشوع, to demonstrating خشوع. ولم يحضره. But the point here is that it did not occur to him, لم يحضره ذكر الله حتى يكون يجدد الخشوع له, that he should revive, he should rekindle his خشوع for Allah. بل هو لاطلاع إنسان عليه يخشى, but in the discovery, in the occurrence of someone looking at you, you have entered into a state of خشوع. ألا يعتقد فيه أنه من العباد والصلاة. So that they does he not think that, so that they may think that he is of the عباد, that he is of a worshipper and of the pious. ومنهم, and this is interesting, he says, look, ومنهم من إذا سمع هذا, and among them some who hear, when they hear this, استحيا, they become ashamed, they become shy, من أن تخالف مشيته في الخلوة مشيته بمرء من الناس. That they, after hearing this discussion, they develop some sort of hesitancy about having two types of walking. So the walk when no one, their stride when walking alone and their stride when people seeing them is different, because they change their stride. So he said, فَيُكَلِّفْ نَفْسَهُ الْمَشْيَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ. So then these people, what they do is that they then force themselves to practice walking while they're alone, probably at home or in some desolate place, practice walking slowly all the time, or a medium pace that has waqar and that has this, that does not have hastiness. Hatta idha ra'ahu an-nas lam yaftaqir ila at-taghyir. And the reason for doing this practice of walking like this, is so that when people will, when if he comes in the face of people, he will not have to change his walk, he will not have to change his stride, his way of walking. Lam yaftaqir ila at-taghyir wa yadhunnu annahu yatakhallas bihi 'an ar-riya. And he thinks that by doing this, he will avoid riya. وَقَدْ تَضَاعَفَ بِهِ رِيَاءُهُ. And in reality, his riya has been doubled in this place. فَإِنَّهُ صَارَ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ أَيْضًا مُرَائِيًا. And because he has become, even in solitude, a person of riya. He's showing even in solitude. وَقَدْ ضَلَعَفَ. He said, فَإِنَّهُ صَارَ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ فَإِنَّهُ إِنَّمَا يُحَسِّنُ مَشْيَتَهُ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ لِيَكُونَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْمَرَأِ. He's practicing to, he's beautifying his stride in solitude on his own in secret, so that he can impress people when he's among a gathering, when people see him. لَا لِخَوْفٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَحَيَاءٍ مِّنْ. Not the fear of Allah or are ashamed in front of Allah. And the fifth one, وَالْمُرَاءَاتُ بِأَصْحَابِ بِالْأَصْحَابِ وَالزَّائِرِينَ وَالْمُخَالِتِينَ. And this one is riya with visitors and social circles. And this links back to this idea of social connections, which is very prominent in our modern day culture. كالذي يتكلف أن يستزير عالما من العلماء. Like the one who is attenuated, who seeks to have an alim visit him in his house. ويقال إن فلانا قد زار فلانا, so that it may be said that, oh, so-and-so scholar has visited this person. أو عابدا من عباد, or so-and-so worshipper has visited him. ليقال إن أهل الدين يتبركون بزيارته. So that it may be said that even that the people of deen, the people, the pious people, are seeking his blessings by visiting him. ويترددون إليه, and they are all frequenting his place. أو ملكا من ملوك, or even a king, or عاملا من عمال السلطان, or an officer of the office of governor, of the governor, ليقال, of the sultan, in the, so that it may be said, إنهم يتبركون به, that they are seeking his blessings. لعظم رتبته في الدين, that such great people are going to his house to seek his the rulers are going to his house. You know, my Sheikh Abul Hassan rahmatullah alayhi, he was famous for, he used to, in madrasa in Lucknow, is the capital city of UP, the state of Uttar Pradesh, where he used to live. And whenever telephone calls used to come saying that the Prime Minister wants to come and visit you, he used to get his into his car, get his driver to take him into the village, where you had to go on a horse and cart in order, because the roads were not good enough for a car to drive. So he'll drive him up to the edge of the area where the village road begins, and then you go on a cart, and you have to go in. So he used to go away there, and then people would call back on the phone and said, oh, the sheikh has gone to the village now, so you can't come and see him. Because he didn't like this type of thing, the prime minister. So Indira Gandhi, the president, the prime minister of India at that time, she realized that this was happening every time, and she instructed the government in that area to build a road to the village. And they actually built a road to the village. Eventually, so then there was no other way to escape being. But this is to show that this is the kind of people, a true scholarship, people who are not seeking the limelight. So he's saying that كَالَّذِي يُكْثِرُ ذِكْرَ الشَّيْخ. Like the people, there are some people who like to speak about shuyukh, you know, oh, I met this sheikh and this sheikh. لِيُرَى أَنَّهُ لَقِيَ شُيُوخًا كَثِيرًا وَاسْتَفَادَ مِنْهُمْ. so that he has met so many shuyukh and they're all, and he has got lots of benefit from lots of shuyukh. فَيُبَاهِي بِشُيُوخِهِ, and then he touts this by showing with pride, وَمُبَاهَاتُهُ وَمُرَآتُهُ تَتَرَشَّحْ مِنْهُ عِنْدَ مُخَاصَمَتِهِ. Then he speaks, when he's having debates with people or among his opponents, فَيَقُولُ لِغَيْرِهِ, when he's arguing, he says, فَيَقُولُ مَنْ لَقِيْتَ مِنَ الشُّيُوخِ, who have you met of the shuyukh, of the sheikhs? وَأَنَا قَدْ لَقِيْتُ فُلَانًا وَفُلَانًا, and I have met so and so and so. وَدُرْتُ الْبِلَادِ, and I've gone to all the world to his opponents. وَخَدَمْتُ الشُّيُوخِ وَمَا يَجْرِي مَجْرَاهُ, and that I've done so and so for the shuyukh, this sort of thing. فَهَذِهِ مَجَامِعُ يُرَائِي بِهِ الْمُرَاؤُونَ وَكُلُّهُمْ يَطْلُبُونَ مِنْهُ الْجَاءَ وَالْمَنْزِلَةَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. And they are all seeking. This is in summary the areas through which people practice riya. So it's about getting vigilant about this. And then finally, he says in this chapter, he says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقْنَعُ بِحُسْنِ الْإِعْتِقَادِ فِيهِ, مَنْ يَقْنَعُ بِحُسْنِ الْإِعْتِقَادَاتِ فِيهِ, فَكَمْ مِنْ رَاهِبٍ إِنْزَوَى إِلَى دِيرِهِ سِنِينَ كَثِيرَةً, وَكَمْ مِنْ عَابِدٍ اِعْتَزَلَ إِلَى قُلَّةِ جَبَلٍ مُدَّةً مَدِيدَةً. He said that sometimes a person who is gripped by riya, it will be satisfied not with all the direct referencing and the direct effect, but just اعتقاد, just the belief in people's hearts is sufficient for them. So he's saying that how many a rahibin, a monk, that has secluded himself in his convent for many years, and worshipper who has secluded himself on the peaks of mountains for years and years, وَإِنَّمَا حَيَاتُهُ, but his life, his entire life, all this time he's spent away, حَيْثُ عِلْمِهِ بِقِيَامِ جَاهٍ فِي الْقُلُوبِ, but it's all about, he's doing all of this to establish a station in people's hearts. وَلَوْ عَرَفَ أَنَّهُمْ نَسَبُوا إِلَيْهِ جَرِيمَةٍ, and if he should find out that they are saying something bad about him, about some kind of crime, and he is in his convent or in his cell, لَتَشَوَّشَ قَلْبَهُ, his heart then changes. He cannot live. وَلَمْ يَقْنَعْ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِبَرَاءَةِ صَاحَتِهِ, he is not satisfied in the fact that Allah knows that he is innocent, even if they think that he has done something bad. بَلْ يَشْتَدُّ ذَلِكَ غَمُّهُ, and he becomes completely sad about it, and then he indulges in all sorts of scheming to remove that from the hearts of people, even though he has no yearning for their wealth, for wealth or anything that they have, he wants nothing from them. He is a monk, he is kept away, he is hiding, he's an abid on the mountain, but that can also affect him. يُحِبُّ مُجَرَّدِ الْجَاهِ, that just, he just wants that position in the heart. فَإِنَّهُ لَذِيذٌ كَمَا ذَكَرْنَاهُ فِيهِ, and because it is sweet, it is tasting, it tastes as sweet as we have mentioned before. فَإِنَّهُ نَوْءُ قُدْرَةٍ وَكَمَالٍ فِي الْعِدِ, it is a form of perfection and power. وَإِنْ كَانَ سَرِيعَ الزَّوَالِ, even though it vanishes quickly, وَلَا يَخْتَرُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْجُهَالِ, and the only people who are deceived by it are the people who are ignorant. طيب, where are we? Okay, so we're about to finish now. ومنهم من يريد الاشتهار, ومنهم من يريد الاشتهار عند الملوك, there are some who wants to have fame with the kings, لتقبل شفاعته, so that people may so that his intercessions may be accepted. وتنجز الحوائج على يديه فيقوم له به جاه عند العامة, so that people, that if he intercedes for people, give intercessions referencing, you know, wasata, this is what is it, wasata, you have wasata with the king or with the governor, then your job gets done. ومنهم من يقصد التوصل بذلك إلى جمع الحطام, and there are some who their aim is to gather material wealth, and he calls it jam' al-hutam. Hutam is debris, you know, it's like wreckage. So he said jam' al-hutam, this wa kasb malin وَلَوْ مِنَ الْأَوْقَافِ, and to get wealth even if it's from awqaf, in other words, even if it's haram wealth, وَأَمْوَالُ الْيَتَامَى, and the wealth of the orphan, وَمِنْ غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ, or haram wealth, because this is a tragedy. Sometimes you find people who are practicing deen in all other aspects, but when it comes to transactions, they fall apart. They are not trustworthy when it comes to, and this is a problem. And it is because is the riya in it. They use riya in order to gain this trust of people. وَهَؤُلَاءِ شَرُّ طَبَقَاتِ الْمُرَائِينَ الَّذِينَ يُرَاءُونَ بِالْأَسْبَابِ الَّتِي ذَكَرْنَاهَا. He said, and these people are the worst of all these categories. فَهَذِهِ حَقِيقَةُ الرِّيَا وَمَا بِهِ يَقَعُ. So this is the reality of riya and through which it happens. 47, okay. فأما الإبادات كالصدقة والصلاة والصيام والغزو واحد فللمرائي فيه حالتين. That a person will be, all right, we've reached the end of our time. Inshallah, we will continue next week. But my advice is that we should be vigilant, inshallah, about the perfections we project, as in Hubbul Jah. And when it comes to ibadat, when it comes to acts of worship, good deeds, acts of, our vigilance must be amplified. We should be extra cautious so that we do not include others in our worship of Allah. For that is mockery. It says that yastahziu bi. I didn't cover all the hadith in there, but Allah says that undur ila abdi yastahziu bi. Look at the servant. He's doing mockery. He's mocking me. But if you include other people, which is the worst possible place to practice mockery. So in subsequent classes, inshallah, we will learn strategies to treat this illness of riya, how to remedy it, how to prevent it. But for now, I would suggest that you, what you do is that you keep monitoring your heart and motivations. Keep checking. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full view of your thoughts, full view of your intentions. And so speak to Allah in your hearts. Speak to Allah in your heart, with your heart, in the voice in your heart, and say, oh Allah, I'm trying to be sincere, but I stumble along the way. So take me by the hand, help me. Oh Allah, guide my heart and my mind to do what I do only for you. Let's speak to Allah. Whenever you find yourself stumbling, let your heart speak to Allah. Yes, let us pray, inshallah. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبوء لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. Oh Allah, we are trying, oh Allah, over and over. We are trying and over and over we fail. On our own, we are weak and frail. But with you and with your help and grace, success is always near. أنا إن نصر الله قريب. As you said to us in the Quran, that your help is always near. Oh Allah, forgive us for wasting the many opportunities you have given us to turn a new page. Forgive us our shortcomings, our mistakes, our sins, and grant us the joy of khudu and khushu, in wudu, in salah, in ruku, in sujood, in tasbih, in khu'ud. Oh Allah, turn our hearts towards you in all that we do, and guide us to your love and to your mercy. Place our joy and happiness in our prayers, as it used to be for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, cleanse our hearts from the clutter of worldly chatter in prayer, and help us to prepare for that day when everyone will be in fear. Oh Allah, we are your servants. We are your creation. We are your slaves. We have no other to turn to but to you. Accept our dua and guide us to what pleases you. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك. اللهم اقسم لنا من طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك. ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا وجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم واغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا كربا إلا نفسته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا أعنتنا على قضائها ويسرتها يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم فرج هم المهمومين ونفس كرب المكروبين واقض الدين عن المدينين واشفع جميع مرضى المسلمين واشفع جميع مرضى المسلمين واشفع جميع مرضى المسلمين يا ربي يا كريم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وصل اللهم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين آمين. بارك الله فيكم. إن شاء الله we will meet you all next week at 7 PM إن شاء الله. There was a question there. I'm not sure if there was something. What was that chat? Four chats. SubhanAllah, I can't see. Sound is good, but we cannot see. So I don't see. Okay. So if people have a good character with people outside, but bad character with people at home, is that also Riya? Yes, yes, yes. This is a sign of it. This is a sign of it. If you have a good character at home, have a bad character at a character at home, and then terrible character at home, and then good character outside, that means you're making you. That's not your natural character. So that is a sign of Riya. You're showing something that you're not, because you're when you're at home, that's what should be the your natural state. That is your natural state. Your guards are down, and that is exactly like the example of the person who is walking and changes his stride when he sees people, and that's not good. So if you find yourself in such a situation, then you should, you will need to do an analysis of why you are doing it. Now, it's not easy for a person to make judgment, general judgment on situations at home. For people might be in a bad mood for all sorts of reasons at home, and because those pressures are not at home, are not on them when they go out, their mood might change. So there could be situations where there are factors that are exacerbating, causing that person to be grumpy at home. But this has to be dealt with on a person by person case by case basis. But the general rule is that you should be good at all times. You should be. Rasulullah was always, he was happy with his family at home and happy with the Sahaba outside in the mosque. The only time he changed, as if he didn't know them, and this is the amazing thing, he said, and in Hadith it talks about this, his wife told us about how he would be, he's one of us, and he's laughing with us, and he's playing, and he's totally engaged with us. But then suddenly, when the Adhan starts, when Allah's name is mentioned, and it's time to go into prayer, he enters into that mode, into flow. There is something else that happens. The khushu takes over, and it says كأنه لا يعرف, as if he did not know us, that as if he didn't know us. That's how he used to change. That as if he didn't know us. So that's for a good reason. You change because it's time to stand in front of Allah and to prepare yourself before you get into it, so that you don't take all your dunya in your salah. it's good to start from, and you, as you will see in the course on khushu, you should start earlier. Give your time, give your space, give yourself time to prepare your mind and your heart to calm down, to reach your itmi'nan. And because itmi'nan is a crucial part of salah. In hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said repeatedly, hatta tatma'in. But you go into ruku, you stand up, hatta tatma'in, until you reach your calm. And that's the calming of the body and the mind, the heart, both in for khushu. So that's a different thing altogether. Anyway, jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu feekum. Inshallah, we'll talk to you all next week, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.